it's good.
Yeah, I still can't get over meeting Mr. Cocaine. That was just an amazing thing for me today. So, hello and welcome to Supernatural Selection. I'm your host, Kevin, and with me this week are Mike the Skeptic. Mike, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good, I guess.
Okay. And we've got Mr. David Davis. David, how are you doing?
I forgot we were going to record, so I ate spaghetti, perhaps too much spaghetti, right before recording.
I'm so jealous.
David's full of spaghetti.
This should be fun.
Someone eat a his a spaghetti.
Spaghetti.
Yeah. So it's a weekend weird, and before we get started, we are once again still taking submissions for the zine. Head to supernatpod.rocks/zines with an S, and you can read the information you need to get the submissions in a format we need, and we would love to have you in the book. We're still looking for Bigfoot stuff.
Woo! Mm-hmm.
Excited.
Like we got a lot of fun submissions, but we can always use more. Like, I want to get as many pages together as I can.
Yeah, the more pages, the more value added.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like somebody should do, like, a comic book ad page, you know, where you can, like, order Amazing Life Sea Monkeys. That would be kind of fun. But anyway, so there's that. I met a man named Cocaine today, and beyond that, we have not discussed anything about the order we're doing today, so I'm going to just go first, if that's all right.
Okay.
Oh, okay, yeah, sure.
Okay. Also, I'm 48 now, so fuck
yes,
me.
Yes, happy birthday.
Yeah, fuck.
Happy birthday. It's Kevin's birthday. We're done.
Okay.
You just get part of a song.
I don't even get the full Applebee's happy birthday song. Wow.
The legally permissible to be on the air happy birthday song.
You know, the happy birthday song is now, it's legal to do.
Don't have public domain now. So.
Oh, it's finally in the public domain?
Yeah,
that was a lawsuit.
Okay. Yeah, and I think they found that there was enough prior art that it really never should have been copyrighted.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's not like Q-tips or anything.
Yeah.
So, this week, my first story is from the Daily Star. I almost had two from the Star, and I was like, nah, I need to find something else. So, this first one's kind of interesting. Came out April 6th from Abigail Hunt, assistant news editor at the Daily Star. Title is, Supermarket Car Parks Become Unlikely UFO Hotspots, with 1 in 10 sightings reported there.
Is it saying that there are all these car parks are also in Florida?
No, I think it's in the UK.
Oh.
But freebets.com asked 2,000 UK adults if and where had seen UFOs, with almost 1 in 10 people claiming a supermarket sighting.
Hmm.
Isn't Freebets an online betting site?
I have no idea.
Need to look into that. Spokesman Tim Agnew said, we were shocked how many believed they'd had an encounter. So, article begins. Almost 1 in 10 UFO sightings is in a supermarket car park. Thousands of shoppers claim to have had close encounters while loading their motor after doing a food stop. This is so British. Some spotters think the spotlights of the UK's 12,700 stores are a magnet for aliens. Chris Eccles, 39, Rotherhithe, South London, said, I had an experience 3 years ago when everything looked like it was shimmering. I don't know what it was, really, but it was something.
Fair.
Yeah, sure, I guess. The Rotherhithe, South London, lad added, my theory is that all the lights look like some kind of giant landing site. Freebets.com, there is a link.
Yeah, it is a betting site.
God damn.
They were taking the odds of where people see aliens.
Probably, that's why best thing I can
see. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, they asked 2,000 UK adults if and where had seen UFOs. That's not a sentence.
This isn't a very good source, Kevin.
No, well, it's better than Phantoms and Monsters, so fuck off.
I mean, not really.
Okay, that's fair. It is the Sun. No, the Star, the Daily Star. Sorry.
They forgot the they, didn't they?
Yeah.
Wait. So you're reading an article from the Star where they source their information from freebets.com.
Yep. Only the finest news reporting at Supernatural Selection.
Only mildly picked over through a dumpster in a back alley.
The author of this was only mildly concussed. So, spokesman Tim Agnew said, "We were shocked how many believed they had an encounter." Meanwhile, the Daily Star reported on, you're doing that. I noticed that. You are reporting on this. Meanwhile, the Daily Star reported on a self-declared UFO expert, self-declared, that's fun, who believes he had come across the, quote, holy grail of evidence after allegedly spotting a giant boomerang-shaped aircraft on an ISS live stream. So that's the International Space Station.
Hmm.
The video, which was shared online by conspiracy theorist Disclose Screen the Grim Reefer, shows the V-shaped object flying above the Earth, claiming it came from a live stream from the International Space Station. The self-professed extraterrestrial expert, I mean, your parents are sad, shared the footage to his YouTube channel, where he described it as the holy grail of alleged UFO evidence. He explained to his 14,000 subscribers, come on, guys.
Jesus Christ.
We've got like 70. We can get there. He explained to his subscribers that he had held onto the clip for 8 months, as he had had it checked by a friend for any signs of editing.
Those pixels look right. I've seen a few pixels in my time.
Yep. I know Photoshop. Yeah. He claims his pal found, quote, no evidence that the footage had been manipulated.
So the roundabout manipulation test.
Yeah. Hey, man, did you fake this? Nope. Good. Me neither. In the video, which has gained more than 700 views out of his 14,000 subscribers, he continued, for me, this clip is the holy grail. Almost read that as glory hole for some reason.
The glory hole of UFO sightings. Checks out.
This clip is the holy grail of UFO sightings. It is definitely not man-made. The sheer size of it would suggest otherwise. It's hard to tell the distance from the camera, but it's close enough to the Earth that you can see it casting a shadow. The ISS orbits the planet at around 250 miles from the Earth's surface, so if this UFO is closer to the Earth than it is the camera, then we are looking at something that is miles in diameter. This isn't a scouting ship. This is a colony ship. There's an entire population on this thing. This craft fits a description of the Phoenix Lights perfectly. Pow! And that's the article. Pow.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
Freebets.com, huh?
Yep. There's one comment on the article. Doing drugs after a hard shop and thinking reflected lights are UFOs. Okay.
A hard shop?
Yeah, you know, a hard shopping trip.
Shopping hard. Shop hard.
Shop hard.
I'm trying to understand.
The fact they don't link to this supposed UFO footage.
Oh, they did, but like...
No, they didn't. All their links are self-referential back to the Daily Star.
Oh, well, there's a link to the video, it said.
Where?
Down toward the end. Read the full story here. It's like at the very end. Yeah, okay, I got it loaded. Well, I say that and the video's loading. It's probably going to be, say, this is inaccessible in your region.
All right.
Yep, not loading. Thank you, Daily Star, for making us laugh at love again. So, nonetheless, why do you think people see so many UFOs in parking lots in the UK?
Mm.
Back on the subject of the article.
Mm.
That's the only time they can look up from their dreary lives and look at the sky.
You know, I thought that too. I thought that too. Oh God, my life's so terrible. Look, a UFO! That is a terrible British accent. I don't care.
No, pitch perfect, no notes.
Or you know, maybe it's the only place where there's enough like space that where when you're looking up, you don't see just trees or other, you know, buildings or something.
Yeah, I guess it's hard to see a UFO on a council estate. I don't know.
Hey, bruv, you see that? You see that? Yep.
Right, look. I swear to God, it was a UFO.
Or maybe, you know, maybe the aliens, you know, in the UK just really need a lot of groceries.
What? You know, I need to look this up, but like, different types of UFOs are seen all over the world. I want to know what aliens look like in the UK. You know?
Probably they look like salt shakers with plungers on them.
Son of a bitch. Nailed it. You nailed it. Oh, God. So, who would like to go next?
I'll go.
Okay.
You'll have a go.
Okay, so...
I got that, Mike, just so you know.
Mm-hmm. I got this story from Ghost Forge. This is from the website viewfromthewing.com. And... article written by Gary Leff, and title is Rival Monkey Gangs Declare War on Streets of Thailand as Authorities Arrest Leaders.
All right.
Like they're arresting the leaders of the monkey gang?
Apparently.
I'm just going to say it. I am always happy to hear a story about monkey gangs.
All right. In Lopburi, Thailand, a significant escalation has occurred involving conflicts between rival monkey factions, leading to significant disruptions. To mitigate the situation, officials have engaged successfully capturing a key figure among the monkeys, I Krow, along with several of his followers.
What the fuck?
Despite these efforts, the challenge persists due to the monkeys' adeptness with firearms and understanding of
human use.
Whoa, wait, what?
Whoa, are we in Planet of the Apes? What the fuck?
I don't know. This is my first time reading this article.
This is goddamn amazing.
The article itself, there's not a whole lot written, but there's also a bunch of embedded tweets in it. So we have a tweet from someone who goes by Yami, and it is, biggest news to come out of Thailand since, I cannot read this, I don't understand what those characters mean. The city of Lopburi is experiencing unprecedented violence between two monkey gangs. Authorities have been mobilized to quell the chaos and are currently attempting to relocate the primates. Let's see. Local authorities successfully apprehended one of the gang leaders, I Krow, using a tranquilizer gun. Upon his arrest, cries could be heard from his subordinates.
Oh. Oh, God, they arrested a monkey.
Here's another tweet. On the second day, seven individual monkeys were arrested. Locals responded by saying, is that it? There's 1,000 of them.
They're lucky.
Authorities reiterated that the monkeys' familiarity with firearms and their ability to interpret human body language pose challenges in apprehending them.
Okay, we really need more information on the firearms part of this.
Yeah, no.
When was there a monkey shootout?
Yeah,
I think
know.
It's just the monkeys recognize firearms. I don't think we have monkeys using guns yet. But given the... Apparently this is a long-standing problem since like 2020 or 2021.
Yeah, since COVID.
I'd give it another year before the monkeys start getting guns.
Monkey got a gun.
I hope to God they don't name one of the leaders Caesar.
Okay. All right, so here's back to the article. Authorities are conducting a citywide effort to capture the leaders of the factions identified by yellow and green affiliations.
What?
To dampen the unrest and strategize on long-term solutions.
Are you telling me it's like Crips and Bloods? What the fuck? They've got color like turf?
Oh, my God. Bananas versus melons.
Oh, God.
Okay, another tweet from this person. A hierarchy chart has been published showing yellow as Krow's group and green as Yak's group. A citywide monkey hunt is underway to capture the remaining leaders, aiming to temporarily quell the violence, provide authorities with additional time to assess the broader issue.
A citywide monkey hunt. I don't even know how to roll with this anymore. I remember when this started because the tourism dropped and the monkeys started like turning to crime for food and then like fighting against each other over that food.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know it had become so organized.
Little monkey hits and their drive-bys and shit like that.
Oh, this is where Hitman Monkey from Marvel comes from, I swear.
Oh, man. Okay, back to the article. events like these are far from unheard of. In 2020, a gang of monkeys took a 2-hour train trip, quote, in order to search for food where they fought and dominated the local monkey population. It's like Fallout, you got monkey raiders.
Oh my god.
Alright, one more. Let's see. Closing the borders to tourists during the pandemic meant tourists were no longer feeding bananas to the monkeys. They were starving and went wild.
Because they were tame before, you know.
Well, right. You know, when you lose your source of food, you just kind of go buck wild. I mean, starving so, monkeys. Don't like cross that, them.
That's literally how the article ends.
Wow.
Now I'm just kind of like reading through the comments to see if anything is worth, and I can't tell what's spam and what's people trying to be funny. Well, one user who goes by Ape wrote, "Only one thought came to mind: Planet of the Apes."
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what all of us, until you said Monkey Fallout, I was like, this Planet of the Apes, but no, Monkey Raiders is, good God.
What the hell is this comment?
Uh-oh.
Okay, I'm gonna read this comment. It seems unhinged, probably incredibly irresponsible. Quote, "The violence-loving, troublemaking figurehead is a symptom of that which has already enamored the followers of the troublemaking figurehead. So removing the violence-loving troublemaker may help less than the peacemaker's wish because the troublemaker already has such a huge number of useful idiots willing to follow, peddle, or tolerate abusive nonsense that other hardliners are jumping like crazy to be the next in line to carry on with the make apes great again veil while misbehaving like crazy in plain sight, too."
This guy's using this as a metaphor.
Yeah, okay, next paragraph. This is weird. "Perhaps counter-gender-confirming surgery will calm things down when their sex hormone levels drop to such levels that they are made impotent and have no desire to screw around like they're monkeying around dear leader whose self-declared personal Vietnam was STDs because of that."
Is this AI?
That sound like word salad. Like, I thought your article, Kevin, was AI, but this is sounding even more like AI.
Yeah,
this
comment almost, it seems like it's racist. Like, maybe they read monkey as an ethnic group?
I don't know, but I have four words.
Mm-hmm.
Monkey Brotherhood of Steel.
let's see. "This is real. Monkeys cannot be trusted."
I'm feeling a little uncomfortable about some of these comments now.
Yeah, no, I'm getting to the racist ones now.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, but, hey, monkey gangs.
God damn it. Their familiarity with firearms. This one bought a Glock. Oh, my God. It was fun until you got to the comments, and
right,
I think
right.
That kind of sums up the internet, don't you think, guys?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Damn.
Little monkey gangs with their little monkey drive-bys.
Oh, look, this one has a little fat man. So, Mike?
Yeah?
What's your article for this first part?
So, I have one. It's more of a news thing. So I put it here because I think it could eventually become a narrative, a bigger part of a narrative in conspiracies.
Uh-oh.
Because it's already in conspiracy.
Is this fungus?
No, it's not fungus.
Okay.
Although, you know, maybe one day it'll fight the fungus. Who knows? Okay. But vaccine breakthrough means no more chasing strains. Could this be the end of endless boosters?
Are you saying this could be the end of strain spotting?
Yes. So, scientists at UC Riverside have demonstrated a new RNA, based vaccine strategy that is effective against any strain of a virus and can be used safely even by babies or the immunocompromised. Every year, researchers try to predict the four influenza strains that are most likely to be prevalent during the upcoming flu season. And every year, people line up to get their updated vaccine, hoping the researchers formulated the shot correctly. The same is true of COVID vaccines, which have been reformulated to target subvariants of the most prevalent strains circulating in the U.S. and, I assume, other areas as well.
I would hope.
This new strategy would eliminate the need to create all these different shots because it would target a part of the viral genome that is common to all strains of virus. The vaccine and how it works, and a demonstration of its efficacy in mice is described in a paper published today in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. So, I mean, I think that's fairly straightforward. It gets into the weeds here, but I don't think that's too necessary. So this is one of the promises of the RNA-based vaccines when, you know, they first started talking about them. So if you don't know the story, the RNA vaccine, there was one researcher who was, you know, basically struggling to get research grants to fund the research and was just barely eking by, you know, putting out papers every now and then. And when COVID hit, it was like started to make people take notice of different types of vaccine research, and the RNA vaccine was just seemed like it was tailor made to quickly deploy a, you know, new vaccine for a new virus.
Right.
But it, you know, it has a lot of potential to. So traditional vaccines are made by, you know, using weakened versions of the viruses or, you know, parts of the virus. But some viruses are too either dangerous or we just have not been able to make a vaccine that way with them. I'm pretty sure like AIDS is one of those. And some, like, you know, influenza just change so often, you know, you'd have to give someone hundreds of shots to cover them all. So this is kind of like
one-stop shop.
Yeah, since RNA vaccines can be tailor-made to not just so normal vaccines, they condition you, what your immune response conditions on is like the outer protein shell of the virus, which is kind of one of those things that changes most often with different strains, because you think about it, you know, if your body is hitting on that and that's what it's using to identify viruses, well, the most effective ones are going to be ones that change that protein shell more often. And so instead of targeting those, this will, you know, maybe teach your body to, you know, recognize viruses by a different part of the virus.
Right.
Now, you had mentioned the UC Riverside, right?
Yeah.
That is my alma mater for my bachelor's degree.
Nice. Really?
Yep.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's a small world.
Were you a test subject?
No, unfortunately not.
Okay. Unknowing test subject, maybe.
Yeah,
but
right.
Yeah. But being a further development of RNA vaccines, of course, means the crazies are gonna latch onto this.
Oh yeah,
because it just means RNA vaccines will become even more widespread. So right now, I think the only one in use is the COVID vaccines, but this means, you know, they'll soon be, you know, RNA based flu vaccines, and, you know, maybe, you know, common cold vaccines, and
which would be great.
And all these others, which means, you know, everybody's going to be getting 5G, 6G, you know.
Oh, yeah.
iPads, full-on MacBooks injected into them. Who knows?
I'm sorry, did you say full-on MacBooks injected into them?
Well, yeah, you know, that's the thing. They're putting chips in you, so.
Oh, right.
So why not? I want to go get my iPad injected.
You know, I'd rather have salsa injected into me.
You go to Marie Callender's and they give you Raspberry Pi.
Mm. Oh.
Yes. Both ways. Works both ways. But yeah, no, so we can look forward to new levels of broke brain conspiracy theories about the vaccines.
Wonderful.
Some predictions. What do you think they're going to say next? So if the vaccines were bad before, what new thing can they roll into the vaccines doing that'll be new and spicy?
Well, I mean, they've already got impotence and like brain control. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else you could have other than like exploding dick syndrome.
Maybe they'll link it to the incel thing, like involuntary celibacy. Like, you know, I got the vaccine and now women don't want me.
Hmm. Has nothing to do with bathing.
Yeah, I can see that grift happening.
No. Mandatory gender changes. It changes men into women and women into men, no matter what your preference.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what it'll say.
So it can turn a gay man straight and a straight man gay.
No, your sexual preferences stay, just your gender identity.
Oh, okay.
That's what they'll say it does, because, you know, there's all these, you know, there's the more visibility of trans people, and so I can easily see broke brain people thinking, oh, this wasn't around in my day, there must be something causing it.
Is this kind of like the whole, this didn't used to happen, and it's grandma out in the driveway, like, spraying water and talking about rainbows are there because of chemtrails?
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, people think that things didn't happen back in their day, and, you know, they just didn't realize it happened, just people didn't make a big deal about it, didn't talk about it, or were scared to talk about it. One of those.
This is very sad, the whole conspiracy thing.
Yeah, well, yeah. Conspiracies are sad. Conspiracies are sad because I think it's people. Well, I think in general they are because it's people that are using the conspiracy to fill something in their life they don't have.
Sure.
Whether it's excitement, adventure.
Really wild things.
What pain are you trying to mask, Kevin?
What's that?
What pain are you trying to mask, Kevin? I mean, because you believe in some conspiracies.
Yeah. Mostly being ignored by my parents.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry, did this just get real? Should I have said something funny?
No, we're good. We're good.
Okay. Well, one time I dropped a watermelon on my foot. That's the pain.
Making sense of a world that seems to be just continually leaving you behind.
I gotta go end it. No. Wow. What a happy show.
Right, right. Well, so, you know, we had...
I'm sorry, Mike. What was that? Sorry, I was... What'd you say?
David?
Huh? What's up?
What'd you say?
Oh, I said we at least we had monkeys.
That's true. We did have monkeys.
I'm sorry, my stories are always bummers.
Well, you're the skeptic. That's what you're supposed to do.
Well, you
bringing
know,
everybody down, man.
We haven't had an animal dying story yet. That always brings the mood down.
I still have a second story.
I have a second story that I'm going to do right now so that I can do Phantoms and Monsters in the next segment. So, and this has death and technically animals, but not death to animals.
Okay.
Now, this is from KXII.com, which is based out of Sherman, Texas. This is a great article. It's by Caroline Klaus Fletcher. Came out April 17th, 2024. And the headline reads, "Man accused of murdering friend he thought summoned Bigfoot found guilty." Sorry, I thought that would get a bigger laugh.
No, it's ridiculous. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I may have you beat for a headline.
Okay. Well, article reads, Ada, Oklahoma. The Pontotoc County man who told investigators he killed his friend during a fishing trip because he thought the man was summoning Bigfoot to kill him was convicted Wednesday afternoon. A judge ruled that Larry Sanders... Gary Shandling's dead, motherfucker. What the... A judge ruled that Larry Sanders, 55, is guilty of murdering Jimmy Knighton in July of 2022. The conviction hinged on the concept of malice afterthought. According to closing arguments, both prosecutors and the defense attorneys agreed that Sanders unlawfully killed Knighton, but a first-degree murder conviction in Oklahoma requires proof of malice afterthought. District 22 District Attorney Eric Johnson explained that he and Assistant District Attorney Tara Portello needed to convince the judge that Sanders intended to kill Knighton. Quote, in a first-degree murder case in Oklahoma, as in other states, you have an element of malice afterthought, meaning that you have to have specific intent to cause the death of another. District Attorney Eric Johnson said, we were able to prove that Larry Sanders caused that death, and the issue of malice afterthought was that this case was what this case truly hinged upon. Sanders reportedly confessed to killing Knighton during interviews with agents from the Oklahoma Bureau of Investigation. Sanders took the stand Wednesday and told the courtroom about the fishing trip that turned deadly, saying he thought strange things began happening that July afternoon. Sanders claimed to see a 12-foot-tall Bigfoot downstream and to hear Knighton howl into a drainage pipe. Sanders said that Knighton had pointed out a fish to him and was telling him to get that fish. Sanders said when he told Knighton he didn't want to get that fish, Knighton kept telling him to get that fish.
Get that fish.
Get that fish.
Sanders, I'll get that fish.
Can I pet that dog? Sanders told the courtroom that he began to feel suspicious and believed, I know, and believed that Knighton was planning on drowning him and floating his body downstream to feed him to the Bigfoot. Later, God damn it. Later on that afternoon, Knighton and Sanders got into a physical fight. The defense team, these poor sons of bitches, argued that when Sanders strangled Knighton,
it sounds like Smeagol.
I know. He found the one Sasquatch to rule them all.
Sasquatch.
Oh, God. The defense team argued that when Sanders strangled Knighton, he was trying to take control of the situation and not kill Knighton. The state argued that Sanders made sure Knighton died by waiting to let go of the chokehold until he turned blue. Oh, boy. Yes, there was a monster in the woods that night, but it wasn't Bigfoot. It was Larry Sanders, Johnson said.
And it showed.
Yeah. Sanders' sentencing hearing is June 18th. He is facing life or life without parole.
Jesus. Okay, so when you mentioned the idea of summoning Bigfoot, that led me to a question.
Uh-huh.
What do you put in the summoning circle to summon Bigfoot?
Gold bond. There's a lot of chafing and foot problems.
Some quadruple extra large Dr. Scholl's inserts.
I was going to say a lifetime supply of Slim Jim.
Ooh, good one. You know what? I'm going to change my answer. A Baconator. I just think Bigfoot would show up for a Baconator.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah, so here's the thing, Mike.
Yeah.
When I read this article, the first thing I thought is, hey, remember that time I thought Bigfoot was coming to kill me down at Grand Gulf?
Yeah.
If I had one more head injury.
What the fuck?
This is what would have happened, I think.
What would it... Huh?
I've told this story on the show. It's been a while.
Okay.
So, okay. We were on a little just sightseeing trip. We used to go out and take photos and have fun adventures when we were young and foolish. Mm-hmm. And myself, Mike, and one of our friends went down to Grand Gulf, which is where the nuclear power plant is.
Yep.
And there is a beautiful scenic overlook our other friend knew. And we went out there and we pull up to this cabin where there's already a car parked and we're like, oh, they must be looking at the overlook. And then two heads pop up from the front seat where they've apparently been blowing each other and the car drives off. And we get out to go look at the scenic overlook and it's beautiful. The sun's setting. Literally the vapors coming out of the nuclear cooling tower are visible and pink in the sunset. It's beautiful. You haven't seen anything until you've seen a nuclear reactor at sunset.
It just sounds like a scene from like Toxic Avenger or some other movie set in Tromaville.
That or an episode of The Simpsons, yes. So we're standing there watching and we hear a tree fall. So, and the thing is, we've come out of the woods, sort of, and we're at, like, the edge of this, like, drop-off. And there's, like, a goddamn forest several feet beneath us. Like, the tops of the trees are beneath us, you know? And the tower is on the horizon. And then we hear a tree fall. And myself and our other friend just start running.
Yeah, they book it.
I assumed Mike was behind us. Mike was not right behind us.
No.
Mike pulled a knife out and goes, what do you guys think that was?
I didn't pull a knife out.
Oh, I thought you said you pulled a knife.
Nope, I just stood there and turned, and I was like, what do you think that was? And I was turning around as I was saying it, and I see, like, just dust trails, like Looney Tune, like clouds, and them, like, probably 20 feet away, just elbows and assholes as they're pumping their elbows.
Yep. So, the thing is, it was a long walk out to that thing, and there was a fallen log that we had to climb over. And when Mike caught up with us, and he did catch up with us, I remember Mike going, how far is it to the car? Have we gotten near that log? I was like, Mike, we jumped over it. And we jump in the car and just peel out. And we're all panting and vaguely panicked. And Mike's panicked because we abandoned him. Not for malice or to like sacrifice him to whatever knocks over the tree, but because I panicked and assumed he was going to run too. Anyway, I say, what do you think that was? And Mike says, probably a bear. And I'm like, yeah, a bear. And that apparently cued them all into the fact that I didn't think it was a bear when I started running. And our other friend goes, what did you think it was? And I say, I thought Bigfoot was coming to kill me. So, if I had had one more head injury as a child, that's what would have happened, probably.
I don't think you've told this story before on the show.
I'm pretty sure I have. Mike, haven't I told this on the show?
I don't know.
This seems new to me, because I would have remembered you saying at some point in a conversation that you and I have had
that Bigfoot was coming to kill me. Okay, yeah. Well, there's the story.
That's fantastic. Oh, my God. That's so good.
Okay. Well, that was fun. And again, one more head injury, I would have killed Joe and sacrificed you to Bigfoot, probably. But that didn't happen. My sister only dropped me on my head 4 times that day and not 5. So, that being said, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with some more stories and phantoms and monsters right after this.
Hey
Hey there, if you're listening to this podcast right now, you're probably into cryptids and monsters. Well, if you have a creative spark, you can always join us in our first ever Supernatural Selection zine project. For 2024, we are doing cryptid encounters, where you can draw or write a encounter with a cryptid of your choice, and we'll put it in the zine. The current submission window is from early January to late June. If you're interested in finding out more, you can always go to supernaturalselectionpod.com/zines. That is Z-I-N-E-S. Now back to the show.
Hi everyone, this is Kevin from Supernatural Selection. Are you an independent creator? Do you have a webcomic or an Etsy store? Do you 3D print things? Or are you just looking to get some word out for your Discordian cabal with social terrorism? Well, we'd love to help. And David, I believe you've got some details about how we can help.
Why, certainly. If you go to supernaturalselectionpod.com/contact, that is supernaturalselectionpod.com/contact, you can learn how to advertise with us.
That's right. I believe the rate is $2 per episode. You can't beat that with a stick.
Yeah, I mean, trust me, we've tried.
Yeah, that's cheap. That's literally cheaper than dirt.
Mm-hmm. And best of all, if you're not sure how to write an ad, we'll do it for you. We'll even record it.
Absolutely. Just let us know what you need in the ad, and we'll be happy to do that for you.
And again, that URL is supernaturalselectionpod.com/contact.
And now, back to the show. And we're back. Welcome back to your Weekend Weird once again. And David, you're up next. What have you got for us?
Okay, so while I appreciated your last story, I did mention that I have you beat as far as titles go.
Oh, good.
I think I had you beat with the monkey one, but here's another one.
Yeah.
All right, this is from Yahoo News, written by Andrea Cavalier.
How cavalier of her.
Okay. Retired chiropractor, quote, killed Elvis impersonator by chloroforming him more than once during sex.
Wow.
Told you. Fucking
wow. That is the most Las Vegas sentence I've ever heard.
All right, so I'm gonna go ahead and start I'm sorry, just that headline.
Yeah, no,
the minute I read that, I'm like, no, it's like, because this is obviously like true crime territory, but it's weird enough,
right?
Okay, here we go. A retired chiropractor from upstate New York is facing manslaughter charges after he allegedly killed an Elvis Presley impersonator by chloroforming him during sex. Ronald Raher, 69, is accused of restraining and binding Thomas Kreider, 40, then administering a dangerous dose of chloroform, quote, more than one time during the sexual encounter, which led to his death on 5th of April, according to the court documents obtained by the Times Union. 4 days after Kreider's death, Mr. Raher went to Saratoga County Sheriff's Office and reported that his body was in the basement of his Milton home, according to Under Sheriff Jeffrey Brown. So, wait, Saratoga. That's New York, right?
I think so.
Yeah, okay.
So not Vegas.
Nope, not Vegas.
Wow.
Mr. Raher was arrested and charged with second-degree manslaughter and evidence tampering for allegedly removing Kreider's things from the crime scene, the Times Union said. It is unclear where Mr. Raher got the chloroform.
Where'd you get that chloroform? Don't worry about it.
Don't you worry, well, your pretty little head.
Like, do they need to know where he got it? That's the thing I'm wondering.
I mean, I guess not really.
Unless it's like to shut down the chloroform store.
Or the underground chloroforming.
Oh, he got it from Ron Chloroform.
Oh, yeah, Ron Chloroform. Everybody knows him.
You know, the chloroform guy.
Yeah.
The chloroform king of South Detroit.
You know, he's down the road from Ronald AIDS. I just, fuck, sorry. Jesus, oh, just Ronald whatever they're selling.
Jimmy Pepto.
Oh, God. Hey, how you doing? I'm Steve NFT.
All right. Investigators said that the two had known each other for many years, and both the sexual encounter and the chloroform use appeared to be consensual.
Oh, God. Okay, well...
Right.
That makes it more tragic.
Yeah, yeah. Kreider, who went by the stage name TJ Green, and who also worked as a tour guide for a local Star Trek museum in Ticonderoga...
What the fuck?
What is it with Trekkies, man?
Went missing on Friday when he last spoke to his wife, Heidi Green. Miss Green, 42, reporting him missing to the Ticonderoga police the next day, said Kreider left Friday to pick up a free box spring from a person in return for moving some furniture, the Times Union said. This is getting needlessly complicated.
This is bizarrely, like, in-depth.
He was always so trusting that, even if he met someone one time, they were a friend, Miss Green said, recalling her concern over his easygoing, trusting nature. In the days following the Star Trek superfan's disappearance, loved ones spread word on social... You don't need to call him out like that.
Yeah, just the huge fucking nerd disappeared.
Oh no, the next paragraph is great. Quote, he was a sci-fi geek and nerd, Miss Green said. He, quote, he was into so many things, he even got a tattoo sleeve on his arm of just He-Man and She-Ra characters. A GoFundMe was created to help his wife's funeral expenses, describes Kreider as a talented performer, whether he was wearing sequins as Elvis or whether he was guiding a Star Trek tour.
This is a lot for one dude.
Yeah, it's... Oh my gosh. So far, as of Friday afternoon, the campaign has raised $14,275. Now, Raher was arraigned and is being held at the Saratoga County Jail on $250,000 bail. His next court date is set for the 21st of May. So, like, the wackiness of the story aside, I mean, there's definitely a tragedy because this guy who got killed seems like a pretty decent dude.
And I'm guessing the chiropractor was like, oh, God, what have I done?
Yeah. Yeah. But just, what a weird series of events.
Yeah. This is a Lemony Snicket situation.
And I just, it's, to mention the Star Trek thing.
That's rude.
I think Elvis impersonator is enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Because I know when I die, I don't want everyone to go, you know, I don't want the news to read local nut.
Ah, man. But, yeah. Wild, wild stuff.
Yeah, I
weird,
looked it up.
Wild stuff.
Yeah, Ed. I looked up Ticonderoga. It is pretty far north of Albany and, like, right on the border of Vermont on the New York side. And also, looking at the 13 colonies, I'm like, you know, every single one of these would fit in Mississippi.
Right? I mean, half the eastern seaboard would fit in California.
Yeah. I mean, shit.
More than half.
Well, Mississippi would fit in there, too. So, but, yeah.
Yeah.
Man, that is certainly some things.
Yeah, like, my stories this week have been, like, escalating as far as, like, more and more insane details being added.
Thank God you don't have a third one.
Right, right. Thank goodness I don't have X this week.
Yeah, fuck.
No kidding.
So, thank you for that, David, and... making us all worry about how we're going to be remembered.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, Mike.
Yeah.
What have you got your... What have you got for your last one there?
What do I get?
Pardon me while I Swedish this shit up.
So, I don't really have a story as inspired by a story, but the story that's here was too, I don't know, personal to this person. To read, so I'm gonna. It's more of use it as a jumping off point for a discussion.
Uh huh.
So, have you ever heard of the term aphantasia?
That's a Disney movie, isn't it?
Not quite.
Mm-mm.
So, it is... So, okay, so let me ask you this. So, when I ask you to think of an apple, what do you see?
I see a red delicious... apple. Yeah, you know, with the with like the golden sort of striations in it. Yeah. And...
So would it surprise you to learn that there are people who see nothing?
It doesn't surprise me now, but it surprised me the first time I found out.
And they have like
I'll tell you in a second.
Zero, like, think kind of the same way, you know, some people have no inner monologue. These people have no inner, like, visualization.
The first time I encountered that was a dude online when we were talking about seeing, you know, mental images. This dude legitimately went, wait, you see fucking pictures in your head?
David, have you ever had any like experience with someone?
I cannot say that I've ever experienced or known anyone to have experienced
this. I would assume that being able to picture things in your mind would be a prerequisite for an artist. That seems like kind of a given.
Yeah. I feel like
So the phenomenon was first described by Francis Galton in 1880, but has remained relatively unstudied. Interest in the phenomenon, this is all via Wikipedia, by the way, interest in the phenomenon renewed after the publication of a study in 2015 conducted by a team led by Professor Adam Zeman of the University of Exeter. That's an awesome name for a university.
University of Exeter.
Sounds like a freaking Zentradi ship.
Breitai, do you have the protoculture?
Yeah. Zeman's team, he even sounds like a
Zentradi. Fuck.
Coined the term aphantasia, derived from the Greek word phantasia, of course, which means appearance or image, and the prefix ah, which means without.
Ah.
People with aphantasia are called aphantasics. Tasics, or less commonly, aphants or aphantasiacs.
Okay.
Aphantasia can be considered the opposite of hyperphantasia, the condition of having extremely vivid mental imagery. So they have a chart here. So apparently there's degrees of aphantasia.
Right.
Which I can understand because so number one, you basically see the thing pretty much perfectly as you would if you were looking at it with your eyes. Two, you kind of see it in a more abstract way. You could think of it as maybe like a more cartoony version. You still see color, shading and stuff maybe, but it's not quite a literal representation of the object.
I gotcha.
Three is kind of what I'm somewhere between two and three, where it is not like, you know what color it is, and maybe it has kind of like hints of the correct color, but it's still kind of not fully realized. Like it doesn't have all the detail it normally would. Hmm. Four is just kind of like the image, it shows an outline of the apple. So I'm assuming you basically kind of can vaguely tell, like there's an apple shaped hole you're imagining. And five is just nothing. Five is just empty headed. So I would say I'm somewhere around two or three where I don't see it perfectly, but I definitely see things and aspects of the objects.
I'm somewhere between one and two.
I can like visualize something pretty easily if you tell me to visualize it. So, I mean, try me. Give me something to visualize.
Trying to think of something that's not fruit. A rocking chair.
Yep. I can see a rocking chair in my mind.
Okay, I can't make you prove it, so good job. It's great.
Rocking and everything.
This visual thing is perfect for the podcast.
Exactly.
This is great radio.
So, The phenomenon, as we just said, was first described by Francis Galton in 1880 in a statistical study about mental imagery. Galton found it was a common phenomenon among his peers. He wrote, "To my astonishment, I found that the great majority of the men of science to whom I first applied protested that mental imagery was an unknown to them, and that and they looked on me as fanciful and fantastic in supposing the words mental imagery really expressed what I believed everybody supposed them to mean. They had no more notion of this true meaning than a colorblind man who has not discerned his defect has of the nature of color."
Okay.
So it it's just kind of wild. Like, it's just one of those things that's like, you know, I have an inner monologue and I can see things, and it's strange to think that people don't have those things.
Yeah. See, you're talking about this, and I can't imagine not having inner imagery, and also you basically just described hell.
Like at work, like there's a lot of times where I cannot, like someone will tell me the name of a product, and if I can't conjure an image of that product, even as unfully realized as it is in my mind, I usually can't remember it. Like the word itself doesn't mean anything beyond its, you know, real word, unless I have a connection to a image.
Right.
Like, say, you know, someone says Captain Morgan's, I see the Captain Morgan's bottle, basically.
Yeah.
But a lot of times someone will say something like, that sounds familiar, but I can't remember it. I'll Google it, and I'll see a picture of it. I'll be like, that, oh yeah, I know right where that is. That's right over here.
Right.
Well, this is all getting into semiotics.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
The stuff the baby floats in?
Yeah, I was going to say, semiotic fluid?
No, it's, I don't want to have to fucking explain semiotics. So basically the ideas of signs and signifiers, like how do you know what an apple looks like? You have like the traits of an apple. It's red, it's kind of round, it has a stem, that sort of thing. We picture that. Yeah. I have to explain this in my English class, and I don't have my slideshow in front of me to use as a crutch. So I have a hard time, explaining it because it's incredibly complicated. But yeah, so all of this, what you're talking about, to me, what it's reminding me of is how we process symbols and derive meaning from them. Like if I ask you to picture a stop sign, what are the traits of a stop sign?
Well, octagon, red, white letters, border.
Yeah. Now, does that object have any inherent meaning in and of itself?
I mean, it
not really. It's meaning that we ascribe to it.
Yeah, I understand.
So it's very it's a lot of bullshit. Like it makes sense, but it's like I don't want to have to explain it right now. But that's the immediate thing I thought of when you when you were talking about this.
Right, I get it.
Yeah,
so, you know, it does remind me of a question, and I don't know if you guys are going to understand it or anything, but I'm going to go ahead and check it out there. What color is the number 3?
Green.
Blue.
I was going to say white, but okay.
I say green because out of Roy G. Biv, he's number 3.
Okay. I could see that. All right. And David, why you say blue?
RGB.
Okay.
The third one, blue.
See, I don't have any kind of logical reasoning for my choices.
Just supremacy.
No, God damn, dude, no. See, here's the thing. With me, when I was younger, like, numbers are, like, white on, like, gray or white, black letters on white, and letters are white on black. In my head, if that makes any kind of sense.
It's probably maybe the way you were shown them.
Maybe, but I mean, I don't remember a lot of that on Sesame Street.
Yeah.
Because it sure as hell wasn't my
parents. For a second there, I thought you were going to say when you were young you had synesthesia and you saw colors whenever you thought of numbers.
Not quite, but like it's a little like that, I guess. I don't know. It's interesting to me, the because like some people, I mean, no, it is like synesthesia. It's like, well, what does five smell like?
You know? Yeah.
It smells like apples, you know.
I thought you were going to say it smells like ass.
Yeah, it smells like taint. Yeah, woof. Anyway, yeah, no, I find that really fascinating. And again, you described hell, Mike.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea of not having inner imagery is just a nightmare to me.
Mike has been finding all sorts of fun depictions of hell, because last week we had the people seeing goblin faces.
Oh, yeah. Wow, Mike, you're just finding all the real nightmare fuel.
Yeah.
Next week he's going to find some article about a condition where it feels like people are shoving needles in your dick or something.
Or they're like peeling your skin off strip by strip every moment of the day.
So here's an interesting thought, though. So we can kind of hear things if we think about it. We can kind of see things if we think about it. I can't really smell or taste things if I think about it. I kind of can get a sense of what it sort of was kind of maybe almost like, but, you know, it's not even, it's way even vaguer than, you know, the outline of the apple.
Well, what are we talking about here? Like, if I were to mention a food item,
it's like, you know, I mean, I guess it makes sense because vision and hearing are two of the more important senses for, you know, everyday, you know, hunter gathering kind of stuff. But it's funny that those are seem to be the only two. I can touch. I can sort of, like, if I think about it, maybe get a whiff of an impression of what something feels like. But
there's the only one I do that with is that texture that like makes my throat close up.
Well, I would say taste was pretty important for hunting and gathering. Well,
yeah,
because,
what I'm saying is, yeah, but I'm saying is that, you know, sight and sound are the only ones you can actually kind of recreate in your head.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like I don't know. Have you ever smelled or tasted anything?
If you mentioned something that I know tastes bitter, I get that.
I've tasted and smelled sensation. In a dream.
I was going to say, has anybody tasted or smelled in a dream? I don't think I have. In fact, I think recently I thought about it because I did like eat or drink something, and when I woke up, I went, that was just kind of vague. Like, it was basically the same feeling as if I'm remembering eating or drinking something.
Do you remember the taste of strawberries and cream, Mr. Frodo?
Now, I do get like,
shut up, Sam.
There's a lot of, like, touch in dreams, though. Like,
yeah.
I feel touch.
Yeah, especially the dreams you're having.
Yeah, no kidding.
You weirdo pervert.
But, what about temperature, like, hot or cold?
I don't remember.
Like, what about that? Now, think about being cold. Do you feel cold? Can you imagine feeling cold?
Oh, God, yes. Hmm.
I feel like if I feel cold in a dream, it's because I'm actually feeling cold.
Now, that happens, yeah.
Yeah, more than likely, I would think so.
Dreams are fucking weird, man.
Yeah.
I'm starting to get my weird fucked up dreams again, and it's weird.
Interesting.
Yeah. No, I like last night, I dreamed that I died in my sleep.
Oh, God, I hate dying.
I felt like my soul or whatever, like, leave my body, look down at myself, then nothing. And I was like, oh, fuck, I'm a ghost now.
Man, I had a dream I got bitten by a snake and the poison was working. I could feel myself dying. And then, like, right as oblivion kicked in, I woke up.
Oh,
fuck.
I was like, I hate this.
Oh, God, yeah. I've had dreams like that. Shit. Ugh. Like ones where you're falling. Two, and then you wake up and you have that sensation of, you know, you kind of jerk awake and you're like, what's going on here?
Yeah. Oh.
You ever wake up screaming?
Get off me, you wiener dog.
Yep. Wait, what? Yep.
You ever wake up screaming?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, were you asking about Mike? He was quoting an old Norm MacDonald bit.
Yeah, get off me, you wiener dog.
Yeah, he was talking about he wanted a dog he could take out. Like a wiener dog, it can only take you out if you, like, fell asleep on the floor and, like, started chewing on your neck, and then by, like, dawn, it might get a vein. But, guys.
Yeah.
This has been a fun discussion, and it's time to ruin it because it's time for everyone's favorite segment on the show. It is time for Phantoms and Monsters Theater.
So by everyone, you mean the, like, perverts that sit in the corner and, like,
hello,
touch themselves.
And welcome to Phantoms and Monsters Theater. I'm Lord Kevin Beef Wellington. Thank you for indulging me, guys. So this week, we have got Alulu from April 7th. Our article is entitled, 7-foot-tall monkey and human-faced owl seen in downtown Miami.
Second, I thought you said downtown Miami.
Downtown. Not Downton Abbey.
Downton, Miami.
Yep. But the picture is an owl and then like a drawing of a monkey, and the monkey has a dick.
Wait, what?
It's like clip art of a monkey, and the monkey has a penis and balls. It's
okay.
Real weird. Anyway, article begins. John in Miami, Florida, called in Coast to Coast AM. We're in for some good one, to tell of a weird sighting he had. This is a blessedly short one, guys. So, back in February, I saw what looked like a large monkey, about 7 feet tall or so, and I was able to call the zoo and give a description of them on the tape. And I was trying to get the Department of Natural Resources for the state to warn them that this thing was running around. It was escaped for a couple of hours at night. This was in the downtown area, believe it or not, but this was kind of like a wilderness area near the river in Florida, in Miami. I didn't smell nothing. I eventually got within 20 feet of the thing and tried to get a picture. Like you said, my camera failed and wouldn't work. I just couldn't get a picture. I couldn't get it with my cell phone either. And the strangest thing of the entire night, I don't even like to tell this to people because it sounds like I'm crazy. But at the end of the night, that thing was joined by an owl. An owl showed up. It had what looked like the face of a man. And I've had nightmares about that. Goddamn right you did. Had nightmares about that since. I couldn't believe I saw something that way, but I did. I wish I could have gotten that on film. And they both more or less went toward the ground, and they both just dissolved. It was like they both just evaporated, and I couldn't believe what I saw. I had 2 cups of coffee at the beginning of the night, so I knew I was well aware of what was going on. Okay, theories, gentlemen?
Self-cleaning cryptid.
Interesting.
Yeah, no, like, it takes care of itself. It evaporates into a nice pine scent.
God damn it, it leaves behind nothing but the fresh smell of brute. but the, okay, Bigfoot. All right, Florida skunk egg, sure. Man owl.
Maybe it's a Shi'ar.
Oh, that is a deep cut X-Men reference. I was going to say, have you noticed how everything's an owl?
Mm-hmm. Well, the owls aren't what they seem.
Yes, thank you.
Neither owls are the cows. Well, that ends well.
Oh, fuck off. Oof. Oof. See, it's funny because I just posted a comic strip about in our Discord. Oh, where was it? It was in shit postmodernism. And it's a bird. Doing stand-up, and it's labeled as Joe Nickel, who writes about the paranormal. And he's the guy who uses owls to explain Mothman. Mm-hmm. But the comic says, the Hopkinsville goblins are barn owls. And somebody in the audience, boo, say something original. And the bird's sweating and looks, and his note card just says, Mothman is a barn owl. Flatwoods Monster is a barn owl. Bigfoot is a barn owl.
Have you ever seen a featherless owl?
God, yes. They look like grays.
Yeah. wild stuff.
Look, just seeing an owl's kind of fucked. Like, we used to have, like, I saw one on the way to the store in my old neighborhood, and I was like, God, that thing is huge and terrifying. And also, they fuck under my window at night, and I hate them.
I'm looking at featherless owls right now, and I'm just horribly fascinated by it.
Yeah,
well, again, my yard used to be an owl love motel, so that was always fun.
It's like Futurama. There's no more rats, it's just owls.
I actually prefer that. Yeah, I'm looking at a naked owl, and quite frankly, I don't like it.
I'm looking at it's like a trail cam of a featherless owl, and this is when people see gray, this is what they're seeing.
Yeah, no, I saw like some, like a picture someone took of like a nest of owls they found
God.
A crawl space or attic or something.
And the one eating the rat while he's doing it, yeah.
Yeah, and they're just like standing up and like, yeah, they just look unearthly.
So, yeah, yeah. I posted in the host chat. Take a look at this picture.
If it's the one I think it is. Yeah, no, fuck those things. That's grays.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get it. I get why you would think that.
Yeah.
Not that that's the explanation for grays, but still.
Weird little dudes.
Weird
I appreciate
little
them.
Dudes.
And
I appreciate them.
Do you?
Yeah, no, I'm a connoisseur of weird little dudes.
I feel like these things can fuck right off. Personally speaking. So, have we got any questions, guys?
Why
What's
am
the
I
meaning
here?
Of life?
Wow, fuck both of you.
Where's my groupies?
Just, where's your what?
Groupies.
You know, you kind of have some. Ghostforge is kind of a Mike groupie.
Eh.
Oh, I get it. Okay, my bad. Now, we answered the Melissa Etheridge thing. Melissa Etheridge. The Melissa conspiracy. Jeez, that came out of nowhere.
Okay, I've got a... How about this? I got a little supernatural themed game for us.
Oh. Okay.
I want you gentlemen to each pick a cryptid. And don't tell me what the cryptid is. Just once you have your cryptid decided, let me know.
Okay.
All right, you got one, Mike?
Sure.
Okay. Now you have to tell me what D&D class your cryptid would play.
Ooh.
And then I have to try to figure out the cryptid from the no. Just I'm just curious.
Yeah, you know, like profession, like warrior, monk, whatever.
Mike's really.
Yeah, I'm kind of stumped. I wish I had picked something else, but.
Okay, well, what creature? What cryptid did you pick?
I picked the Hopkinsville Goblins.
Shit, they're obviously rogues.
I was gonna say, yeah, they're gonna be like fucking
chaotic neutral rogues,
like that. Our friend Drew, his
fucking
kinder thief, yeah,
fuck that thing.
That's what they're gonna be, just a little mischievous.
Lactose fucking... the Intolerable was his name. Yeah. Yeah, they're goblins. How about you, Mike? What's yours?
Loch Ness Monster.
Ooh,
oh shit,
that's a wizard.
I don't know.
He's at Inverness. He can get books.
Well, see, I really thought Kevin would have picked Bigfoot, because that's easy. That's a ranger.
Oh, obviously. That's why I didn't go. Well, it's not why I didn't go for it, but like everybody expects me to choose Bigfoot.
I don't know. It's hard to figure out the Loch Ness Monster.
Okay,
because, like,
how about you?
Yeah. Oh, me?
Yeah. I still say a wizard or like a warlock. Also, because of the Aleister Crowley connection.
Right. No, that would actually work.
Yeah.
Like a warlock plesiosaur.
All right, artist, you heard it.
Shit. Okay.
Pick a cryptid.
You picked my go-to cryptid, which would have been Hopkinsville Goblin. So fuck you, number one.
Yeah, fuck me. I gotcha.
Number two, I'm going to say... You know what? I'm going to go with the Mothman.
Yeah, I was thinking you'd go that way. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think Butt Fanatic is a proper D&D class.
Monk. Just because it looks like he's already wearing robes.
And I'm going to go with a homebrew class for this one.
Oh, that's cheating.
Okay, fine. All right. This is a tricky one, man. So
what about a bard?
It depends on what Mothman I'm talking about. Am I talking about like 8-pack Mothman with the G.I. Joe body on the statue?
Oh,
or am I going for like tall, skinny, creepy Mothman?
When I think of Mothman, I think of the illustrations from Point Pleasant where it's like two bumps with eyes in the chest.
I'd say go with the most common representation in the lore.
Yeah, that would be the shadowy moth beast.
Okay. You know what? I am going to say a sorcerer.
Okay.
And
because of light spells or
dancing lights, yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Dancing lights, fireball, prestidigitation, a lot of lights.
Now, if it's the statue, that's a barbarian.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah, no. Broadsword, quarters stuck in his ass crack.
Okay, so beans. We know Aleister Crowley would have been a warlock if he played D&D.
Yeah, and everybody would have been like, you're cheating.
Mm-hmm. So let's go with another personality from our podcast here. Ingo Swann.
I was just going to say Ingo Swann. That's ironic. You psychically predicted I was going to pick a psychic.
What would Ingo Swann play?
A lot of magic users in this.
Yeah. Honestly, my guess would be wizard.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Here we go.
Isn't there a psychic D&D class?
Yeah, is there?
Warlocks can have a kind of like a psychic patron.
Oh yeah, well I mean I'm a warlock in a ice bag, so.
Yeah, I mean I think we've all played a warlock at one point. Okay, Alex Chu.
Oh.
Piss
boy.
Golem.
Shitty, shitty bard.
I was gonna say an artificer.
I was okay. That's a good one too. But I was saying bard because you know he says they stole the Imperial March off of him,
right? Oh, so I wonder what Alex Chu is up to.
Oh, I don't know. Should you check?
Check on how his bottle looks.
Let's see how our boy's doing.
Yeah, he's like our own private Lord Rael.
How gross is his bottle today?
Yeah, God, how gross is that bottle?
Yeah, because we never did do that live watch through of the piss bottle.
Thank God. I know Ghostforge is mad, but thank God.
Okay. I got some of his videos. I'll just read the ones that stand out. Best and worst hand cranked pasta maker machine noodle ramen udon.
Wow.
I thought that was going a different direction.
That's, yeah. Hand cranked penis pump.
Let's see. Mass boycott on fast foods is coming to California and will kill dating market.
What does he know about the dating market?
And does he think you can only exclusively take a date to fast food? Because I feel sorry for anyone that has dated Alex Chu.
I don't know, man. I go to Wendy's with him.
Yeah, but you're taking someone out to impress them. You don't take them to Wendy's on the first date.
That's true. You take them to Waffle House.
I mean, that's better than Wendy's.
Yeah, I took a first date to Waffle House. I mean, admittedly, the relationship lasted 2 weeks, but still.
Okay. I predicted U.S. Civil War 3 months ago. Here is another prophetic dream. Posted 2 months ago.
I think you just predicted the movie coming out.
Right. Oh boy, Ezekiel 38 and 39 are fulfilling Israel under attack from all sides. Oh Jesus.
Oh Lord. Oh boy, we went there.
Feminism is killing the economy worldwide.
Of course it is.
Let's see. Wait, I had one more. Let's see. Okay. I wonder about this one. Never marry a single mom who has a pretty daughter.
I don't like where this is going.
No, that's just some freaking, you know, fantasy shit he had.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. He's
gross.
He's declining. Apparently, there is a new technology drop.
Oh.
How to heal your injury or illness using needleless acupuncture diode part 2.
Part 2. Oh, I remember the diodes, yeah.
He also has a free Super I Ching reading, so you can always do that too.
Hmm. Great.
It's getting sad.
Getting?
It wasn't already. It's been sad. It's just we're digging the shame hole deeper.
Yeah. Still very Nazi-looking flag.
Of course it is.
Oh, God, that's just so...
Oh, God. And that's like his name, is it supposed to be?
Oh, and also he's officially 53 years old. That's one of his videos. Alex Chu is officially 53 years old today.
You know, I'm just glad he's older than me and looks like that.
So, yeah, that was depressing. We've had a lot of moments tonight where, like, it's just like, oh, it's kind of sad.
Yeah, there's been a lot of, oh, boy, moments.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of the just grabbing your shirt collar. Ugh.
Yeah, it's a lot of feeling like Krusty the Clown going, this has been rough. Oh, God. Okay, so I was on Reddit to see if there was anything interesting. It's a picture from Dragon Con, and somebody said, I'm ready for the Sky Bridge. They're wearing just full-on leather leather jumpsuit with a gas mask with a bandolero loaded down with deodorant. I'm like, okay, there we go. Sorry. Dragon Con's coming up in a few months, and again, I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep.
You guys going to do an episode from Dragon Con?
Well, you know, we thought about it last year, and we were just too busy doing stuff.
That's fair.
I've talked about doing it like 2 years running.
Yeah, it's just so... It's one of those things that you have all these plans for Dragon Con, you get there, and... It's over, and you're like, what the fuck happened? Yeah. What did I do? It's like did I leave the room at all?
Yeah, it's like getting mugged.
Yeah. Where's my money? Why am I broke? My head
What's this
hurts.
On my back? Yeah.
What's this on my back? It's Monday, and I have to, like, pack my shit up.
Yeah, no, it's definitely waking up. You're just lucky you didn't wake up in a bathtub full of ice with a scar. But...
Or to some strange lady taking your booze and or your money.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I've heard several stories of people taking what seemed to be a nice young lady back to their room for amorous adventures and
your money's
shenanigans
gone.
Happened.
Your booze and your money's gone and you just feel shame.
Yes.
You're lucky you still have your kidneys.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we'll talk more about that this weekend on the Distraction Hole because I got some thoughts on our cosplay ideas.
Yeah.
And so that's it for this week.
Yay!
Yay! We're free! So thanks, everyone, for listening. If you want to find out more about the show, you can head to supernatpod.rocks. That is supernatpod.rocks. You can find information about the show. You can find a link to our Discord. You can find a link to our YouTube and our Patreon, which we're going to be making more and more content for as we go. I'm going to be streaming Monday again with some hot wheat. Mm. And so, David, have you got anything you want to plug before we go?
Yeah, I think the week after next, I will go ahead and finally do a stream. I have an episode of Sally Jesse Raphael with the Warrens on it.
Oh, hell yeah.
So I figured that would be a fun one to watch.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Mike, you got anything you want to plug or draw attention to or bring up or tell people?
No.
No.
At the moment.
No.
No.
No. Okay. Well, I'm going to say once again, listen to Spooky Dice Bag. We're getting into some fun stuff. It's episode 105, I think, is the current one. and should be a good time.
Now, I know, have you guys ever done an episode titled Spooky Dice Hag?
Not that I'm aware of, but I'll
because
bring
it
up.
It's a perfect title. It is a perfect title for an episode.
I'm going to have to bring it up to Kick-Ass Trump. Maybe we'll meet like a bog witch or something. I don't know. But yeah, no, he's always open to weird-ass ideas like that. I am really happy that I kind of came up with our current slogan, which is, I think we're the heroes and that sucks.
That needs to be on a t-shirt, dude.
We're working on it. I actually made a official golden seal with that written on it.
That's so amazing.
Anyway, again, thank you everyone for listening. We really appreciate it. We're doing our best here. Next week, Roswell. We are finally covering Roswell, and boy, have I got some stuff for that.
Kevin may in fact explode from excitement.
I'm really excited about it. I mean, this has been building like a pimple to a head.
It's one of like the big ones that we've wanted to do.
Yeah,
I know that you've really wanted to do that one. I've been looking forward to it.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I've been saying is like I didn't want to cover it at first because it's like everybody knows Roswell, and I'm finding out that no, everybody does not know Roswell, and it's rapidly becoming ancient history.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I need to get this down before everyone forgets it. I mean, like, we've lost all our primary sources, and our secondary sources are dropping like flies. I had to read, like, man, fuck Philip J. Corso. I'm just going to say that. We'll get into that next week. So, thank you, everyone. We will see you next time. So, until then, stay safe and stay froggy. Goodbye.
I'm still not used to the stay froggy.
Are you like Frosty better?
No, it just makes me think you're telling people to stay horny.
Yeah, it is a little weird. Should I go back to Frosty?
I mean, whatever you want to do. I don't really care. It's just...
Should we drown a guy for trying to feed us to Bigfoot?
Yes.
Okay.
Bloods versus chimps. Pick your side.
I'm going to choose the South Side Nanner Peels.
Wow. Getting controversial there.
The Dark Horse option.
Yeah. I'm gonna go invest in a sandwich.